do have all authority and all power, that we don't need to muster up strength and might in our own self to be able to cause things to happen, but you are drawing us to yourself, and you are inviting us to be able to experience you and to experience a power that flows through us from a connection with you. So I pray that you would cause that to happen. God, there's no way that I can be able to cause what I desire to see happen in my own strength. So God, I'm asking for you to do what only you can do. Spirit, would you please speak to each and every one of us, Lord? I pray that you would cause us to be to not be content with what we've experienced to this point, but to be able to yearn for more, to be able to experience you in ways that we haven't experienced you before. And so, Father, cause that holy yearning within us. God, I pray that you would set us on fire, not because we've got anything great going on in our own ability or because we're great in our own strength, but because of you, because we know you in a new and in a fresh way. So, God, do that. Do that now. So do what only you can do. Be with our time. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so Philippians 3, I'm going to read verse 10 for us, and then we'll get right into it. So Paul writes this. He says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." That's what we're going to be walking through today. And so last week, as we were celebrating the resurrection, both Pastor Tim and I, we just got to this point where it's like, why is it that we just talk about the resurrection one week and then we move on? Like, that's it. The resurrection is so much more than just something that just proves our faith, but it's supposed to be this power that we draw into that changes us. And so we're going to spend the next couple weeks just trying to talk about that, learning about that. Like, man, what is it about the resurrection? And because we're trying to be a church family that is trying to actually be what the Bible is describing, we're not content with how everybody else does church. If that's how they want to do church, man, that's great for them. They have to stand before God. But both Pastor Tim and I, man, we don't want to stand before God when we die and have to be to give an account for you guys just going along with the flow. But we want to be able to try to inspire you, to be able to point you to God, to be able to experience God in new ways, and to be able to turn this world upside down for Jesus' sake.
Amen. Yes.
And so we're not content with just going and just doing what we've always done just because that's just what we do.
Yes.
But we want to be able to try to, for ourselves, be able to experience God.
Yes.
But then also be able to inspire you to do the same. And so we're going to try to be able to answer this question: how does the resurrection change me? How does it change me? And so I just have a confession as I'm just beginning that I don't have this all figured out. I'm not trying to stand up here being like, oh, I've got this all figured out. You're probably going to be able to tell in the next 10, 15 minutes, say he doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. All right. But I'm trying to lean in, and I'm trying to get this and help you be able to understand, man, if I just have this nugget, I want you to be able to get this nugget so that it creates a hunger and a thirst inside you to want more. So don't look for a neat and tidy boxed up kids meal today, because it's not going to be in this like beautiful presentation. I don't have this incredible, eloquent way to be able to persuade you how to live out this verse. And I'm just going to invite you to just go after the Lord.
Amen.
You, I can't do this for you. If you want to be able to experience God, if you want to experience Christ and be able to live out these words, you need to experience, you need to know Jesus in a way that maybe you haven't yet to this point in your life. And I can't do that for you. I can do that with you. And that's what I'm committing to do. I want to be able to know Christ like I've never known him before. And as I know him, I'm going to be able to tap into that resurrection power.
Yep.
I'm going to be able to, listen to me, I'm going to be able to share in the sufferings of Jesus. And I'm going to live my life knowing that no matter what happens, even through the suffering, that I'm going to be made more and more like Jesus through it all. And so that's the invitation for you today. That's it, we could be done. No, I'm just kidding. But that's the invitation, is that you would be able to know Christ. Because I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, it doesn't end with Christ's resurrection. What happens? Christ resurrects, and then all of a sudden, the people that were following him, they begin actually flipping the world upside down. They begin to experience this power that resurrected Jesus from the grave. They experience this power flowing through them, and all of a sudden, people are being saved. They're rejecting their sin. They're turning their lives around. That people are being healed. The darkness is being pushed away. And so, man, we hunger, and we want to see that. We want to experience that. I'm not content with this, I'm just going to sit in the Bible study type Christianity. Man, Bible studies are good, don't get me wrong. But if that's all that I have to experience in this walk with Christ, then man, I don't want that. I want something different. I want to know Jesus. It's like Jesus is screaming, game on, at the resurrection. Yep. It's not the conclusion. This was just the beginning. So why does the resurrection matter? Why do we even need to talk about it? We need to talk about it. We need to learn how to apply the resurrection to our lives so that we are not guilty of this text that I'm about to read for us right now. So if you want to flip, you can flip to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. But the resurrection matters because I don't want this to be describing of me. I don't want this to be describing of you. So we need to learn how to apply the resurrection to our lives, because I don't want this to be a description of us. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And here it is. This is why the resurrection matters. They're having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. So we need to figure out how the resurrection impacts and influences our lives so that that's not the case of us. Are you content with just looking like a goody two-shoes and not having the power of the risen Lord through you? I mean, what does Paul tell young Timothy? It's not that he just says, man, don't be this type of person. He says, avoid those type of people. Okay, so for you and for me, it's not okay just to look like you've got this godliness thing down and deny its power. So let's lean in. Let's be able to receive over the next couple of weeks all that we try to study as an invitation for you and for me to be able to come to experience Jesus in new ways. Because in today's text, the call for us is to know Christ, to know him. And so I'm just going to ask you to be able to just consider this question. Is there a difference between knowing and knowing? Is there a difference between knowing information? And is there a difference between knowing in an experiential way? There's a huge difference, right? And so, I know Kevin does home repair now, so, oh yeah. All right. If you want something done at your house, do not call me. All right? Well, I mean, I'll help you, but don't expect it to be like done good, because I don't actually know what I'm doing, all right? But listen, if you ask me, hey, Chris, do you know how to lay the tile backsplash? Oh yeah, I know the process. I could tell you. But when it comes to actually, hey, Chris, do you know how to do it? Man, the proof will be in when you look at those crooked lines, those crooked tiles hanging, falling off in a week. All right? So do I know in my mind the information about how to hang some tile, place tile? What, see, like, I don't even know what I'm talking about, right? Maybe. But do I actually know? Or when I talk to you, if I ask anybody, man, have you guys ever had over-the-top chef's tacos?
Woo!
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so some of you, yeah. Not a sponsor, all right. Got to throw that in there in case people are watching, you know. Right? But there's a difference. Yeah, I'm not making any money off this, all right. Listen, there's a difference between seeing the pictures and, man, I know that's a good taco. Compared to if you had those pork tacos this week, anybody that had those pork tacos this week, you guys understand, you know what a taco is now.
Amen.
Because those jokers were good.
Amen.
All right? And so now it's suddenly not enough just to be able to know, like, oh yeah, that's a good place to get a taco. Now I've experienced that taco, and so now I feel bad for anybody that gives me a taco for the rest of my life. Because I know what it can taste like now.
Yeah.
I experienced that.
Yeah.
Right?
With the fries.
With the fries, too. Gosh.
Yeah.
All right? Or, right, I have to go here because I just love coffee, so just let me go there. All right? Just let me do it. All right? Right? Some of you know the taste of coffee, right? But you've not been bit with the coffee bug in the way that I have, all right? Because I've experienced some coffee that I'm like, I had no idea that this can taste this way. And so now my life and a lot of our money is going towards this venue of experiencing anything that I can pull out of coffee, right? I don't need applause for that. I'm still working. The best coffee I have had has not been my own doing, so just leave that there, all right? But there's a difference between knowing information and experience, right? There's a difference between knowing about something and actually knowing, experiencing, having that connection with something, right? And so I'm going to ask you, how well do you know God? How well do you know God? Because unfortunately, what we have done in American Christianity is we've made knowing God all about how many books you have read, how much time you've spent under some biblical teaching, how many people are in your prayer group, how many kids you sponsor, how many... all the stuff, right? That's what we've belittled Christianity to. And are those things good? Yes, right? However, is knowing a lot of information about God the same as experiencing Him? It's not. And this is where that 2 Timothy chapter 3 passage is so scary. Because you can spend a lot of time getting to know God, knowing information, collecting information, and you can be so far away from Him. You can have the appearance of godliness, yet be denying its power. That's why so many people feel stuck in their Christianity. That's why so many people, they feel like they're trapped in a particular sin. That's why a lot of Christians, even though we should be the most joyful people in the world, are the most curmudgeon.
Say that again.
Curmudgeon. I don't know, that just kind of came from somewhere and...
Can you
nope. Ask Siri for that one, I don't know. Right. That's... hey, there it is, that's free. All right. That's why so many of us are wrestling with, we don't have any kind of sense of peace, right? It's because we know a lot of information. We've devoted our lives to knowing God, but we've not experienced Him ourselves. And so what I am just asking us to do from the very beginning of this time is, hey, can we just be honest with ourselves and just ask, are you content with what you've experienced to this point? Are you content with how you know God? Or is there something more? Is there more of God that you want to experience? Is there more faith that you can have? Is there more? And I would like to appeal to you that what Paul is talking about when he says here in our passage in Philippians 3:10, where he says that I may know him, he's not talking about no more information. That I may experience Christ. That I may be connected to Christ. J.I. Packer, he's a lot smarter than me. I went there instead of old, so. And I don't know if he's dead. He died in 2020. So J.I. Packer, I was right. Anyway, he's a guy that is helping me in my faith journey. He says this. He says that you can know a great deal about God without much knowledge of God. See where we're going? You can know a great deal about Him without much knowledge of God at all. He says you can know a lot about godliness without much knowledge of God. I would much rather all of us know and experience God in a profound and new way that alters and changes our lives rather than us doing a whole lot of things just for doing's sake. It's easier to do this. It's easier just to do things and stay busy just for, and we fool ourselves into thinking that we're being godly. Man, that's not who we are trying to be. I want each of us to be able to experience and be drawn to the love of Jesus. And because of our experience, our connection to Him, we are changed. Everything about us changes. So how well do you know God experientially? I'm not talking about head knowledge, but where you have begun to experience in your own life that God truly is who He says He is. Yep. And that God will truly do what He says that He can do. Have we experienced that? Or are we just going in, just trying to learn. Read. How much do you know God? Right? Because Paul, what does he say? He says here, I'll read it again for us. Paul's heart is that I would know Him and the power of His resurrection, and I may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. So when you hear that, what runs through your mind? Is it information or is it experience? Do you know God or do you know Him? And so that's where we're going here. So how do we come to know God in this way? How do we come to know God in this way? I want us to read a couple of more verses. So in Philippians 3, go up to verse 7 and we'll read through 10. This is what Paul says. He says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. This is the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So what does he tell us? How do we come to know him? Right? We need to know Christ. He's inviting us to be able to know the power of his resurrection. This is an invitation for us to share in his suffering. And then also, it's an invitation to become like him, even if that leads to our death. This is a little bit of a different type of Christianity than just, hey, just pray this prayer and you're cute. This is genuine from the heart of the Father. When you come to me, this is what happens. And so a lot of us, man, I'm just being honest. I lay before you, when we look at those four things, man, some of us, we'd be interested in like 50% of that equation. Man, I'm cool if I could just come to know Christ and, you know, share in that resurrection power, because that sounds cool, yeah. Right? But the invitation, the way that we come to know Jesus, the way that we see his power working through us, is by sharing in his suffering. And by becoming like him through whatever it takes, even if that leads us to our death. It's not appealing. Again, I'm not trying to tickle your ears. I want you to be able to experience Christ. And if you be able to understand this, this isn't this like, oh, well, that's sad. That's not the direction that my life wants to go. If you would be able to see, what's the motivation for Paul to be able to lay his life down? The motivation for Paul to be able to know Christ, to experience his power, to be able to want to share in his sufferings, isn't just because it's like, oh, that's a lofty idea. I think I'll go after that. It's because he experienced Christ. So how do we come to know? How do we do this? How do we do this in this way? What needs to take place in our lives? It's not through just knowing more information. Right? If you look, and I encourage you to read the beginning of chapter 3 this week. If it's through information, then Paul beat us. Paul's sharing his resume. He's saying, man, if it's just about knowing all these things and being in all these different things and serving God and doing all these things, then Paul has us beat. And he was a Pharisee. He has the religious lineage. You know, he was of the right family. He did all these things. He was a persecutor of the church. He was trying to pursue what he thought was best, laying his life down for those things. And what did he say? Did those things get him anywhere? He says, no, I counted those things as loss. Compared to what? Compared to the surpassing worth of Christ. So what happens? What needs to happen in each one of us? I mean, Paul experienced Christ, right? He was living one way, and then Jesus shows up to him while Paul is on his way to Damascus. Jesus shows up, and Paul experiences Christ. Things click in his mind and heart, and he begins to be able to understand, whoa, Jesus truly is who he says he is. So this changes everything. I can't make that happen for you. This is like Holy Spirit type stuff. This is stuff that we need to be able to handle in our own and in connection and partnership with God. But we need that to happen, or else we're going to continue to just go after all these worthless things. Right. So Paul doesn't just lose all these things just because he's like, well, that's the good Christian thing to do. No, he's so consumed with how incredible Jesus is that he says, Jesus is supremely worthy of me getting rid of anything in my life that would be a distraction or a hindrance. He says, I will gladly count those things as loss so that I may gain Christ. He doesn't want to settle for anything. The priority in our lives Man, this is an invitation for all of us, the priority to be able to shift from just doing things for God to be able to, may we experience Him. Maybe we do a little bit less Bible reading and a little bit more meditating. Maybe we need to start chewing on some of the things that we have learned. Maybe we need to start begging God. God, I know that you say that you can give me peace which surpasses all understanding, but right now I feel a whole lot of opposite of peace. So God, help me. Help me. Help me. And when we posture ourselves in that way, I mean, the principle is clear throughout all the scripture. When we draw close to God, what happens? He draws near to us. And so this is an invitation for us to be able to go after our connection with, to be able to experience God as He says He is. That we would be able to count anything as lost, that we would get rid of things in our lives that would hinder us, that would get in the way of our connection or our relationship with Christ. And I'm not only talking about sin here. There are some sin in our lives, in my life, that we need to be able to count as lost. We need to get that junk out of here. But listen, as we understand who Jesus is and we know Him, what begins to happen naturally is that we begin to change. Our desires begin to change and we begin to reprioritize things because we're like, man, I'm not going to spend my time the way I used to. It's not that that thing is wrong, but man, I need Christ. For what I'm dealing with and what I'm walking through, if the resurrection power doesn't show up, I'm doomed. And so, but listen, and please hear my heart. Anything that you or I do for God, if it's not out of this heart of just knowing Him and experiencing Him as worthy, anything that we do for Him is just legalism. If you leave here and you're just like, man, I'm just canceling everything just because Chris told me to, right? All you're doing is earning. You're just trying to earn. And so that's why I'm not giving you the 10 bullet points about how for you to be able to know and experience Christ, because I don't want this to become legalism. This is an invitation for you to be able to be awakened for the faith inside you to be able to understand that Jesus truly is who He says He is, and He is worthy and of our time and our affection. This is an invitation for you and I to experience God in new ways. And as we experience Him and we understand Him to be the supreme worthy one, what begins to happen is that, yes, that resurrection power flows through us. So that means that suddenly that sin addiction that I just have been battling for my life, or even, you know, that worry about whatever's going on here, or that fear, that anxiety, those lies that we've been believing for our entire life, suddenly, as I'm drawing closer and closer to Christ and I'm experiencing Him for who He says He is, those things lose power because now I'm filled with His resurrection power. So if we want change in our lives, it's not necessarily that we need to be able to just behavior modify. What I need, what you need, we need to get face to face with our Lord. We need to get less busy. We need to stop doing more for information's sake and more experiencing Him as He truly is. And that's difficult, right? It's a lot harder to do. But here's the hope. The disciples did it. And the thing that's crazy about the disciples, their experience of Christ, their knowing Him, set them so on fire that they flipped the world upside down. So much so that you and I are here testifying and talking about Jesus the Messiah. And guess what? They didn't have this collection of God's word before them to be able to be a reminder for them. Their experience of Christ changed their lives. And so that's what I'm inviting you, that's what I'm calling all of us to do, is to be able to get on our faces, bow, and just spend time with Him. So, Chris, how do I come to know Christ and the powers of his resurrection? I just have one point for you. You become overwhelmed by the surpassing worth of Christ. You, to experience Christ as more worth it to you than your addiction. To be more worth it to you than your career ambitions. To be more worth it to you than your fun. To be more worth it than you than your money, your possessions, your pride, your image. And when we become overwhelmed by the supremacy of who Jesus truly is, that's where the power happens. And the beautiful thing is that we don't just get power for power's sake. It would be really cool if we did just get power just for power's sake. I mean, it'd be really cool, right? Just be able to be like, hey, make that happen because it's Jesus' power through me. That'd be cool, right? But the beautiful thing is that because of this broken and fallen world, we all experience suffering. We are all coming face to face with the reality that life isn't happening the way that it should be. And so the resurrection power that we get invited into enables us to suffer well. It enables us to be able to walk the same road that our Messiah did. Man, he had this resurrection power his whole life, and yet what did he do? He endured suffering. He went to the cross for our behalf. And he rose again victorious so that we could do the same. And so whatever hardship you're walking through, whatever anxiety, pain, worry, fear, whatever things are going in a way that is less than ideal, this resurrection power isn't the ability to avoid those things. This is the power to be able to navigate those sufferings by keeping our eyes on Christ, because we understand that it's all his anyway. That if he sees fit to allow you to be able to come down with a disease, we can trust him because our hope isn't latched on to this world. We've counted these things as rubbish. Right? We can't take any of this stuff that we worry about so much to the grave. So Paul is inviting us into this way of life that actually matters. And he's saying that you can go through life and the hurt and the pain with this resurrection power that can help you be able to endure well with your eyes on the Messiah, understanding that as we stay connected to him, he's making us more and more like him every single day. So that's the beauty. The closer that we come to Christ, the more obedient that we are to Christ, that empowers us with this resurrection power. It awakens our faith, our confidence, because we know God to truly be the one in control. This is the message of the entire Bible, that men and women would come face to face with situations that seems like there's no way out. It seems like they're staring death right in the face. And they have the option. Are they going to trust God to be who he said he is? Or are they going to lean on their own understanding and make a decision that saves themselves? And so for you, what Paul is trying to do, he's trying to help you be able to understand that, hey man, there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But we have a God who has a track record of overcoming, 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 overcoming. So you can trust him. You can trust him. So the call for every single one of us here is to be able to join with the saints throughout all the Bible in trusting the Lord, allowing him to be able to work powerfully in us to make a way when it seems like there's no way. I mean, read the Old Testament. Go through and be able to see this is what happens. It seems like that's what's on repeat constantly. Are they going to trust God? Nope, they trusted themselves and failed. They're going to trust God? Oh, yeah, they did, and God blessed. Man, that's the path we're invited to be able to get our eyes on Christ, to be able to know him, experience him, so that his power can flow through us, that he can make us more and more like him every day. So as we close, I'm just going to ask you just a couple questions for you to be able to just ask yourself this week. As you get away and get alone with God and process, God, based off of what you told me, what am I to do? So I'm going to ask you, what are you holding on to as supremely worthy in your life? What holds that position of supreme worth in your life? Are you content with your level of faith? Would you receive this as an invitation for more faith and to experience Christ in a more meaningful and profound way in your life? And so I would invite you and come to our Savior. Get alone. There's no shortcuts to this, but get alone. Spend time with him and ask him to be able to meet you so that you can experience him in a very real and profound way. So, hey, let's do this together. Let's not be content with just knowing about God, but may we know him in a real and profound way that changes our lives. So, Father, that's stuff that only you can do. God, I pray that you would stir in us. God, I pray that you would cause these things to happen, that as we carve out time to be with you, that you would meet us there. That it wouldn't just be words on a page or information in our mind, but that we would be able to experience you as the one who has true authority. That we would be able to take you at your word and experience it to be true in our lives. That even though my experience on earth and everybody around me doesn't help me to feel loved, when I look at you, I understand that I'm loved. God, that right now that the world and chaos is all around us, Lord, that I can look at you, I can look at your eyes, and I can have peace that surpasses all understanding. And I pray that you would help us to be able to experience that. And God, for those that are here under the sound of my voice that are far from you, that are believing lies from the enemy, I pray that they would experience you and your love and your forgiveness of them, that there is no one that is too far, that has sinned too much, that is outside of your love. God, I pray that they would be able to experience your love in a real and profound way. So God, do in us, create in us people that are not content with knowing information about you, but are people that are so addicted to knowing you and experiencing you. So God, do that in us. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.